usually request our guest to look into their camera and speak their mind to the world.
To
whoever you want to address, you know.
It'll
be your monologue. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to emphasize that all the debates, whether political, economic, media-related, military, or security-focused, the debates won't be productive if we fail to consider the independence of our country. The region has been targeted by the West for more than 1,400 years using different methods. These include historical invasions on horsebacks, modern attacks with fighter jets, and troop invasions, as is the case in Palestine and different regional countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan. Additionally, economic and media-based invasions pose significant dangers to our societies, so we should confront them. Thank you.
And we thank our guest Hassan Oleg from Lebanon for taking part in this program. Until another program, from me, Hassan Tavakoli, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atal, the host of this program. We have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom.
My name is Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah. Brother Muhammad, okay, Brother Muhammad. Yeah. How can I call you? Okay. Brother Muhammad and Shaykh Ahmad Dani. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to show.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for inviting.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about who is a shaheed and what is the concept of shahada. I mean, what is the status of shaheed? We have so many people all across the world during the history of war who defended their lands because of nationalistic, ideologic reasons. So what would be the difference between a person who is killed in defense of his own land with a Muslim who is killed and is called a shaheed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it only the belief system, I mean, at work here or
right.
not?
So as Brother Muhammad has referred again to the fact that certain ulama, because they were so engrossed in their quest for education and knowledge, they reach the same status as a shaheed. So we have a whole group of ahadith that allude to the same topic. And they say that certain people are given the status of a shaheed. For example, somebody who was a breadwinner. Yeah. He would be, and he dies trying to bring rizq halal, halal sustenance for his family, has a certain status in front of the Lord. So in this group of ahadith, we have a hadith that specifically touches on this topic. It says that from Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, man qutila duna mazlimatihi fahuwa shaheed. That is, somebody who tries to drive away a wrong that is done on that person, and he dies fighting in that cause. That is one of the things that can be said here, is that somebody has attacked your house.
That's right.
Right? And you want to drive away that, for example, thief or the robber,
right,
and you die in the process.
Okay.
You are trying to avoid that person who was invading your house, and you die in the process.
Okay.
You are fighting that person.
Okay.
Or, for example, somebody invaded your country, and you wanted to drive them out because you have a right to...
Especially the Muslim lands, isn't it?
Yes, especially when the Muslim lands are concerned, it becomes not only a fariza, that is a national obligation, it also becomes a religious obligation.
Okay.
And so We can say that for the Muslim lands, somebody dies fighting the kuffar, the unbelievers, or whoever invaded that land, they have the same status as the status of a martyr.
So can we say that shaheed and shahada has levels?
Yes,
I mean, has
course.
Degrees of, for example, some lower degrees, some upper degrees.
Yes, of course.
At the end of the day, both of them die, okay? And both of them are called shaheed. Mm-hmm. But does it have any degrees?
You see, when it comes to the degrees of shahada, it's not we who define it. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who defines it. Even among the prophets, we have different levels of prophets. We have the prophets who are ulul azm. And then we have prophets with a lower status.
Yes.
Not to say that their status, when we say they have a lower status, means that they are less valuable. No, they fulfill their responsibilities. But the level of shahada depends on for what reason you're going out for, to become a shaheed.
All right.
Of course, a person who is being killed, like Sheikh mentioned, in defending his family, in bringing bread for the family, then that person is also shaheed. But the person, you compare the shahada of this person to a person who dies when defending an entire nation, entire people?
All right.
Now, this is a different story.
That's right.
It's a different level of shahada. And the highest level of all the shuhada, the highest level of the shaheed, the highest status of the shahada is the shahada of Imam Hussain alayhi salam.
Say the shuhada, that's right.
And that's why many of the we have specific ahkam for the haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam.
Yes.
Even under the qubba of Imam Hussain, your salah is what?
Complete.
That's you can pray your salah. Even when you're a traveler, you can pray complete. Because that place where he was killed is
طِبْتُمْ
وَطَابَتِ الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي فِيهَا دُفِنْتُمْ. You have been purified, and also the earth in which you have been...
your blood was shed.
Exactly. No, the earth in which you have been buried was
buried.
Purified.
That's right.
طَابَتِ الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي فِيهَا دُفِنْتُمْ. And so therefore, the highest level, Sayyidu Shuhada, is Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So therefore, the Shahada of Imam Hussain, of course, is different from the ones that me and you might go through, inshallah, ultimately, at the end of our life. But... these differences, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to judge this, and He is the one who will provide the deserving reward for the shuhada, inshallah.
So many lessons to be taken from the life of shuhada. But Shaykh Danish, can I ask you a question? And that is, who is your favorite shaheed? I mean, do you have any shaheed in your mind who you take lessons from his life? Or you have always, for example, recalls his memories in your life or something like that?
It's a difficult question, And... because all the shuhada and all the martyrs have some specific quality that they inspire you with.
Very good.
Right? And so, of course, Imam Hussain, when you ask this question, you don't mean the
He's the epitome of Shaheed. But now, me and mine.
The followers of for example, we have Shaheed Soleimani, who not only endeavored his entire life and did jihad his entire life, because he was a living shaheed, as in the words of the rehber as well.
Yes.
May God's mercy be upon him. And then we have Sayyid Hassan, who was an alim, who was leading a whole country with his speeches. They were so emotional, mashallah. And he was an inspiration to a generation.
Yeah.
And you have no comparison in recent times if we look with these sort of personalities. Yes. And mashallah, we should say that Inqilab, the revolution, has produced so many great personalities. And
so this is a concept that is going to be as fresh as possible day by day passes.
Yeah.
And this is what the enemy does not understand, okay?
Yeah.
That these, for example, that so many people killed or assassinated before Shaheed Soleimani and Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, they were replaced, they become Shaheed, and now this way goes on, on and on. It's unstoppable. The system, I think, is not going to be changed, because
inshallah,
sacrificing your blood for your cause, especially if it is Islamic, the Shia one, is not unstoppable. Okay, Brother Muhammad, what about you? Who's your favorite Shaheed?
Like the Sheikh mentioned, we really can't pick the Shuhada. All of them, they have their unique points, and alhamdulillah, all of them, they have given us a lesson for us, a legacy for us to carry on from and to bear on our shoulders. But I think in more recent times, even after Shaheed Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, we have the Shahada of Yahya Sinwar from the Palestinian resistance. And I think one of the more we progress, in terms of time, the more we understand this man's jihad, this man's mujahida, this man's struggle in the path. I can remember recently I saw the news that he, when they did the tests after with his body, autopsy. When they did the autopsy, they found out that he was hungry for the past 72 hours. Now, this shows that the shuhada, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them a lofty place in Jannah, they are ready to leave everything in this world, the sweetest of the things in this world, and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they resisted. He resisted a heroic resistance, something that has been left in the legacy of the Palestinians. We see the videos that were made after him. One of the biggest mistakes of the Zionist regime was to publish the way he was martyred. And now every single Palestinian...
Because they don't understand.
Yeah,
they don't understand.
They think killing him will aspire fear among the Palestinians. Okay. Rather, it gave them courage, more bravery.
That's right.
They came out more stronger in resisting them.
And making a heroic, you know, that's right, picture out of these people. They don't understand it, unfortunately. Alhamdulillah, that our enemies are from the most foolish ones.
Exactly.
Okay. This is what Yazid did to Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam. He saw that he is victorious. He was victorious on that time. But he didn't know that the blood of Hussein is going to work for more than 1,000 of years, man. Come on. Yeah. How a blood is going to work?
We say in Ziyarat Ashura, يَوْمٌ فَرَحَتْ بِهِ آلُ زِيَادٍ وَآلُ مَرْوَانٍ بِقَتْلِهِمُ الْحُسَيْنِ
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, they got very happy and they were victorious.
Okay. Are there any actions to make us as close as possible to the status of Shahada? Are there any actions, brother?
Inshallah, may God grant all of us Shahada in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah. And so there's a hadith regarding the same topic, that sawabu talab al-shahada, right? And the hadith goes on from Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says that man sa'al Allah al-shahada bisidqin, ballagahu Allahu manazil al-shuhada wa in mata ala firashe. Right? Even if a person is dying on his bed, and dies the death of an ordinary person.
That's
his life was like that he desired this martyrdom in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bisidqin.
A pure intention.
In the true sense.
The condition is that you should really...
Your niyyah must be...
Niyyah should be pure. Not just laklaka-i zabani we say in
it's
Farsi.
It's not the words, that's right.
Yeah. That only it's...
the just, mere words
yeah,
your tongue.
Yeah, mere words,
right.
And you're saying something only with your tongue, but don't mean it in your heart. So that person is going to get the status of shuhada. And then again, we have this hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam as well, that a companion came to him after the battle of Siffin.
Yes.
And he said that one of my relatives or my brother really desired to be with you during the battle.
All right.
And Imam Ali alayhi salam asked him, did he really intend to be a part of the battle? And Imam Ali was told that yes, he sincerely meant it. And so Imam says to him that he got the ajr of those who had fought in the battle. So if you really and with a pure heart intend to be in the battles of the Aimma, for example, this is the same thing that is narrated for Karbala as well, and on the day of Ashura as well.
Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum.
And we are told to pray again for this as well. So we are considered in the party of
Shuhada.
The Shuhada, the party of Allah, the party of the Anbiya and the Salihin, inshallah.
May Allah help us, inshallah, be among them. May Allah help us to have the chance of experiencing the Imam of Imam As, the reappearance of Imam As, inshallah. There are so many people that still to be martyred on his way, when he reappears. So that is still, there are so many opportunities awaiting you. And for the true awaiters, inshallah. And those who are die a natural death in the true love of their Imam of the age, Imam As, Ajalallah, I think their rewards must not be lesser than, we can say, those type of shuhada. But inshallah, Allah gives us the chance to take lessons from the lives of the shuhada. And we said these shuhada have different levels. For instance, the Iraqi imposed war on Iran for 8 years, and we had so many of the shuhada. Just go to their martyrdom accounts, when you take a look at them, to their last will and testament, you cannot believe that how a 13-year-old boy is going to write down a testament, a last will and testament. I think working more than 4 years of BA at the university or something like that, in terms of knowing the world, epistemology, cosmology, knowing your imam of the time. Come on, man. This is just a piece of paper. That's really fantastic. And these are available. Alhamdulillah, they have been translated into English language too. The martyrdom accounts of the shuhada. And the shuhada of Muqawama, this is another category. Those people who have left their lands, you know, in the Western world, coming to, I could remember this shahida, Rachel Curry, I think. She was martyred, you know. She was killed in Palestine. Come on. She was not even a Muslim, okay? But she is considered shahida, isn't it?
Yeah,
sacrificing her life for the people of Gaza and so many other people. May Allah bless the soul of all these shuhada.
Inshallah.
And may Allah help us to be the true followers of this shuhada, inshallah. Thank you very much, Brother Muhammad, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. For more information, please visit our new website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
This past week turned out to be very eventful. The United States again vetoed a Gaza ceasefire resolution. The top international tribunal issued arrest warrants against Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant. And the UN nuclear agency passed a new resolution against Iran. Most important of all, the outgoing Joe Biden administration vetoed another ceasefire resolution that would supposedly put an end to the Israeli-American genocidal aggression against Gaza, which has now claimed more than 44,000 lives in almost 414 days, most of them women and children. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, this marks the fourth time since October 7 last year that the United States regime has vetoed a resolution aimed at stopping the American-funded Israeli carnage in the besieged Palestinian territory. The latest round of voting resulted in 14 council members voting for the resolution to end the aggression against Gaza and the United States being the lone veto against it. As one of five permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, The U.S. veto power killed the resolution. Many organizations and countries have in recent days slammed the U.S. for abusing its power yet again to advance its own nefarious political interest. Within the context of U.S. imperialism's failure to deter the axis of resistance, the veto highlights the Biden-Harris administration's absolute commitment to the American-Israeli genocide of Palestinians. The outgoing administration has consistently framed its rejection of the UN resolutions as not being enough to condemn Hamas or return the Israeli captives held by the Palestinian resistance. As Vasily Nebezia, permanent Russian representative to the UN, noted, the latest resolution did in fact have a clause that promised and laid grounds for the return of Israeli captives in Gaza, while allowing in aid for Palestinians in Gaza and ending Israeli aggression and occupation of Gaza. The abuse of the U.S. veto power again serves to underscore its political commitment to Zionism and sets the ground for the incoming Donald Trump administration to continue to block any resolutions that would put an end to 14-month-long Zionist aggression, not only against Gaza, but Lebanon as well. The veto also comes shortly after a fake 30-day ultimatum given to Israel by the Biden-Harris administration to improve the situation and the flow of humanitarian resources into northern Gaza. The ultimatum was a political ploy to motivate U.S. voters to show up for Kamala Harris, as the deadline came shortly after the U.S. presidential election. Despite the situation deteriorating in northern Gaza, the ultimatum was scrapped, with U.S. officials falsely claiming that Israel has met its arbitrary standards. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Esmail Baghaei Raida stated that the veto was disgraceful and not only marks another failure of UNSC to uphold its charter-based mandate, but also serves as a U.S.-granted license for occupying regime to continue its carnage in Gaza and Lebanon with impunity. With Harris' presidential bid ending in a decisive defeat to Trump, the actions of the Democratic Party in the lame duck period reveal the two-party commitment to Israel and that they were never interested in securing peace, as they assured voters. The Democratic Party has been posturing as committed to a ceasefire, citing the deteriorating situation in Gaza while promising ironclad commitment to Israel. The veto was met with backlash from many Palestinian and human rights organizations across the world, as well as politicians, leaders, celebrities, authors, academics, and more. Majed Bamia, the deputy ambassador of Palestine to the UN, said, "There is no right to mass killing of civilians. There is no right to starve an entire civilian population. There is no right to forcibly displace a person. And there is no right to annexation. This is what Israel is doing in Gaza." However, anyone pinning their hope for a ceasefire resolution being passed through the UN Security Council has been incredibly misled. Those who thought Biden would do something right in his final days also got a reality check. The genocidal Joe has no change of heart. Biden regime officials such as Antony Blinken, Matthew Miller, and others have repeatedly stated their intent to remove Hamas from any power in Gaza and have been enthusiastic about the ongoing ethnic cleansing operations in northern Gaza. Many critics of the Zionist regime believe the Israeli occupation is laying the groundwork for removing Gazans completely. The Zionist regime has been clear in its intent to ensure Palestinians do not return to northern Gaza. Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which is on the ground resisting Israeli aggression in Gaza, said the use of the U.S. veto in the UN Security Council to block a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza confirms America's complicity in a war of extermination against the people of Palestine. The veto from the U.S. in the UN, paired with the U.S. insistence to keep arming Israel via the Senate vote the same day, which was again protested by some senators, mostly for posturing, on grounds that the U.S. was violating its own weapons shipments laws, demonstrates that the United States is all in on supporting its colonial outpost in West Asia. It is the hand holding the gun pointed at millions of people in the region. Ironically, the very next day, the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for Israeli regime leaders, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former War Minister Yoav Gallant, for crimes in Gaza, citing specifically using starvation as a weapon and knowingly slaughtering thousands of Palestinians. The unanimous decision from a three-judge court announced in its statement, quote, "The chamber considered that there are reasonable grounds to believe that both individuals intentionally and knowingly deprived the civilian population in Gaza of objects indispensable to their survival, including food, water, and medicine and medical supplies, as well as fuel and electricity. It remains to be seen which countries follow through with honoring the Rome Statute and what countries and organizations will impose penalties, sanctions, or other forms of punishment on the illegitimate occupation entity." It's important to note the ICC is simply targeting two individuals within the Israeli regime, while also issuing an arrest warrant for Hamas military wing leader Mohammad Deif, showing the ICC is still very much an ally to liberal Zionism and world imperialism. The decision equates the victim with the perpetrator and fails to accurately condemn Zionism itself. The United States and Israel are not signatories to the Rome Statute and therefore do not have to follow through with any recommendations or issues from the ICC. In a way, ICC is desperately trying to save its own integrity as an enforcer of human rights. It was not long ago that an ICC prosecutor stated that the court was built for Africa and thugs like other people. The face of Zionism, Netanyahu has forced the court to finally act, though, in a mainly toothless manner in order to preserve the existing Western-oriented legal order or face being written off as a mockery forever. Thus, the only way to permanently stop the aggression against Palestine and its allies, both by American-Israeli forces as well as an imperialist-influenced international system, is a decisive resistance victory, nothing less. After over 410 days of genocide, the Zionist regime has failed to meet any of its stated military objectives while being entrenched in a new front against the Hezbollah resistance movement in the north, where it is failing to capture a single town after over a month of fighting. Hezbollah has stated it will not agree to any ceasefire with the Zionist regime without a ceasefire in Gaza. Simultaneously, the occupation entity is preparing for Iranian retribution for carrying out aggression against Iran late in October. Resistance in Iraq and Syria continue to carry out their own operations, while the Yemeni military continues a massively successful blockade of the Red Sea. The Biden legacy will go down as a legacy that financially, materially, and politically oversaw the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. The incoming Trump administration will continue to back the Zionist regime, as well as advising and pressure its European client states, such as the UK, Germany, and France, to continue supporting the Zionist occupation with arms sales, as well as political and financial support, despite ICC, or for that matter, even International Court of Justice rulings. The ICC ruling is an extremely limited one, but does pave the way for some organizations and entities to distance themselves from the occupation regime, at the very latest adding to its growing economic woes. But the most important equation on the field remains the same. Resistance until victory. No court or council can say otherwise. today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. By His name we start, Allah the Almighty. Salam and welcome, dear brother and sister in faith and humanity. Inshallah, all of you are doing well. And today is Tuesday, 24th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Azar, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 26th of November, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun. Such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
We thank Allah for this nice day, and we listen to one verse of the Holy Quran, verse 153 of chapter Al-Baqarah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. إن الله مع الصابرين.
O you who have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Man is in complete need of Allah, and he should constantly invocate for everything and seek help from the Lord. A person most naturally and reasonably can be qualified for the special blessings from Allah. Real faith can never be mere empty words. It must express or manifest itself through patience or endurance in all that befalls the individual to show his faithfulness to Allah. And the help from Allah must be sought through prayers and supplications to the Lord.
Come from one, the seed has spread. The dawn of light has split from white to blues and reds. Behind it all, there must be more. Seven colors of day showed the light of your way. Have I found what is lying behind the fire in your eyes? Do you see what I see? What I see, what I see. See what I see, what I see.
As you know, the topic of this episode of today's special is about the power of encouragement. When we encourage someone, we are imparting courage to them. Over the years, psychologists have studied words and found that they have a profound effect on the human brain. The truth is, words have power. Words can either breathe life or death into the soul, build up someone's spirit, or tear it down.
They either encourage or discourage. This is no middle round. Research have proven that brain function is at its best and quality of life, its peak, when we are processing positive rather than negative words.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today, we're going to talk about the power of encouragement, how encouragement works. The third advice, or the third suggestion that we are going to present to you, respected listeners, is that it is also necessary that good acts and works of the child are appreciated and not his person. This way, he will understand that he is praised for what he does and not for what he is. The importance of every person is because of his achievements. The fourth suggestion that we are going to make here is that while praising a child, we should be aware of this point, that we never compare him with other children. For example, the father should not tell to his son, "You are a good and truthful boy, unlike Hassan, who is a liar." Wow, this is a very dangerous sentence to be said. This attitude might make the child form a poor opinion about the other boy. While comparing the children, the parent is doing faulty upbringing of the good child. The fifth advice that we can suggest to the respected listeners here is that the praises and commendations of the child must be within certain limits. Excess of these might make the child proud or conceited.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
One question: how to encourage others? Pay attention and listen. The foundation of good communications skills is the ability to listen. If we can suspend judgment for even a few moments, we might even hear what is really being said and offer words of encouragement instead of judgment. Listening to someone else is important, and the other person feels heard when we just listen without interruption. It's a great way to build rapport and understanding to what you are going through. Ask what they need, how you can support them. Remember, encouragement means supporting someone, but only in ways that really help them. So stop and listen before you rush into help. Good communication skills are not something that comes naturally to everyone. So think about learning.
I only knew love when I knew love of thee. I sealed up my heart against my enemy. I stood long in converse with thee who doth see my heart's inner secrets, but thou I don't see.
If you remember, we have a part entitled Motivational Islamic Quotes. We go for it today. When a man says, "I cannot," he has made a suggestion to himself. He has weakened his power to accomplishing that which otherwise would have been accomplished. There was a quote of Muhammad Ali. Oh, I love this one. You say you can't and it's no longer a mystery that you won't. The first step to achieving anything is believing that Allah the Almighty has given you the capacity to do it. The second step is to put sincere effort into it, to work for it. And the last step is to have tawakkul, or trust in Allah, and trust Him. If you say you can't, you've already lost. You never gave yourself the chance.
It's easy to show up when you're excited, when everything's going your way, when the motivation is high. But can you show up when things aren't going your way? Can you show up when it's hard, when it's inconvenient, when you're tired and frustrated? That's the true test. And when you pass that test, when you show up consistently day after day, you start to build something incredible. You start to build momentum. Each small action builds on the last, and before you know it, you've created a wave of progress that carries you forward. And that momentum, that's powerful. It pushes you through the tough days. It makes it easier to keep going because you've already invested so much time and effort that stopping now feels like a betrayal of everything you've worked for. But here's the thing about consistency. It's not just about putting in the time. It's about putting in the right kind of time. It's about being intentional with your actions. Just going through the motions isn't enough. You have to bring focus and energy to what you're doing, even on the days when it feels like a grind. Consistency isn't about being robotic. It's about being relentless. It's about constantly striving to improve, to get a little better each day, even when it feels like you're not making progress. And that's another important point. Consistency doesn't always yield immediate results. In fact, most of the time, the results come much later. It's like planting seeds. You don't see the fruit right away, but if you keep tending to the soil, keep watering, keep nurturing, eventually you'll have a garden full of abundance. But that only happens if you're patient enough to wait for the harvest. Too many people give up right before they would have seen the results. They plant the seeds, but when they don't see growth right away, they walk away. Don't be that person. Understand that consistency is a long game. It's not about quick wins. It's about sustained effort over time. And that's why consistency is more powerful than motivation. Motivation might get you started, but it's consistency that keeps you going.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us, and inshallah we meet you soon. Fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world.
Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah appointed Naim Qassem as its new leader, succeeding Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, who led the organization for over 30 years. Nasrallah was martyred on September 27th during an Israeli airstrike that demolished several residential buildings in Beirut's southern suburbs. Sheikh Qassem assumes leadership in the wake of the recent martyrdom of Sayed Hashem Safieddine, a prominent Hezbollah figure initially seen as a potential successor to Nasrallah. Qassem's appointment comes at a time of heightened tensions and ongoing Israeli genocidal aggression against Lebanon, which has led to the loss of at least 2,500 lives. So his leadership marks a critical juncture for Hezbollah as it navigates this tumultuous period. In a statement the group announced, Hezbollah's Shura Council has agreed on the election of His Eminence Sheikh Naim Qassem as Secretary General of Hezbollah, entrusting him with the blessed banner on this journey. Sheikh Qassem became the first high-ranking Hezbollah official to deliver televised remarks following the assassination of Sayed Nasrallah, reaffirming the movement's commitment to continuing his legacy. Following Nasrallah's martyrdom, there were speculations that Hezbollah's Shura Council might delay appointing a new leader until after the conclusion of Israel's war against Lebanon. However, Qassem was chosen during the ongoing conflict, a critical moment that could significantly influence the group's future. A prominent figure within Hezbollah, Qassem has frequently engaged with the media and authored several books about the organization. His 2005 book, Hezbollah, The Story from Within, offers a unique insider's perspective on the history and operations of Hezbollah. This work is regarded as an essential resource for understanding the movement's background and evolution, and has been translated into several languages, including English. After the Israeli attack that led to Nasrallah's martyrdom, Sheikh Qassem emerged as the movement's public face, delivering multiple televised speeches aimed at reassuring supporters that Hezbollah's military capabilities remain robust and that the group is prepared for a prolonged struggle against Israel. Qasem was born in 1953 in Beirut to a family originating from Kfar Fila in southern Lebanon. He pursued a degree in chemistry at Lebanese University and went on to teach high school chemistry, including at a public school east of Beirut. In the mid-1970s, Qasem co-founded the Lebanese Union of Muslim Students and began his political career with Amal, a Shia political movement. Following the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran, he played a pivotal role in the establishment of Hezbollah, which was formed in response to the Israeli invasion of Lebanon in 1982. In 1991, Qasem was appointed Deputy Secretary General of Hezbollah by Nasrallah's predecessor, Abbas al-Mousawi, who was assassinated in an Israeli helicopter attack the following year. Qasem maintained this role under Nasrallah's leadership, where his responsibilities included overseeing Hezbollah's parliamentary activities as a member of the Shura Council. In 2018, during the Trump administration, Qasem was placed under sanctions by the U.S. Treasury Department, along with other members of the Shura Council, for acting for and on behalf of Hezbollah. Following the October 7th attacks, Qasem asserted that Hezbollah would not remain on the sidelines in Israel's genocidal campaign against people in Gaza and Lebanon, declaring that the group was fully ready to engage with the regime. On July 3, 2024, senior Hezbollah commander Mohammad Nasser was killed in an Israeli airstrike. Later that month, another Israeli strike resulted in the martyrdom of Fuad Shukr, a top commander and key associate of Hezbollah leader Nasrallah. In September, at the funeral for senior leader Ibrahim Aqil and Hezbollah member Mahmoud Hamad, both martyred in Israeli strikes, Qasem declared that the group had entered a new phase in its struggle against Israel, characterizing it as an open-ended battle of reckoning. Since Nasrallah's martyrdom, Qasem has delivered a number of televised addresses. In his speech on October the 8th, he stated that the armed group supported efforts to establish a ceasefire for Lebanon. On October 15th, while reiterating the need for a ceasefire, he remarked that given Israel's indiscriminate targeting of Lebanon, Hezbollah retained the right to strike anywhere within Israel. Qasem has emphasized that the group's fighters are determined to repel Israeli ground incursions even in the face of painful blows over the past weeks. Recently, Sheikh Qasem vowed that the resistance would thwart Israel's destructive actions, regain control, and restore order, expressing confidence that their cause would ultimately triumph. Despite its setbacks, Hezbollah has continued to launch rocket, missile, and drone attacks against Israel, and has put up a formidable fight against Israeli ground forces. The resistance group has just damaged Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's home in Caesarea in a drone attack and said a new escalatory phase was coming. Sheikh Qasem has taken up the mantle previously held by martyr Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah for over 30 years, reaffirming Hezbollah's commitment to its ongoing struggle. He has stated that the current actions of Hezbollah represent the bare minimum in their resistance efforts. While the battle against Israel is expected to be long and challenging, Qasem, at 71 years old, draws strength from the hard-won liberation of 2006, achieved against all odds in the face of formidable opposition. He firmly believes that the ultimate victor is the one who endures to the end. As a symbol of continuity for Hezbollah, Qasem embodies the movement's steadfast resolve and dedication to its core mission.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night, while the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. Through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go Gaza tonight. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in the night without a fight. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains, just a voice.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Carries out fresh missile strikes on Israel's military bases and forces as the movement presses ahead with its retaliatory operations against the regime. Israel massacres more Palestinians in Gaza as part of its genocidal campaign in the blockaded territory that has so far claimed the lives of more than 44,000 civilians. And Iran urges the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons to take action against Israel for using